What a blessing to know the truth that is in that song. What a blessing. Hey, I invite your attention this morning to Romans chapter 7, if you will. Those of you that can see me up close, I don't know if a camera draws me in close enough. I've got a wound here on the side of my face, and I thought about telling everybody. I had somebody ask me about it in Sunday school, and I thought about telling everybody. Say, well, I tried to kiss my wife, and she bit me, but that was not true, however. So instead, the weed eater got me. I was running the weed eater yesterday. A man hit, shot something up there, and it took a little bit of hide off. It hurt like crazy. So I've given up weed eating. Obviously, I can't do it because it's too dangerous, you know. So if you come by my house and the weeds have taken over, that's why. God spoke to me through that stone. And I've got a feeling that's not going to float, though. But so, hey, we'll just see what we can. I've been preaching, actually here lately, trying to preach through the book of Romans and also preach on the great questions, some of the great questions that are in the Bible. And this morning, those two sermon series intersect. Because I want you to look at verse 24, if you will, all right? Verse 24, the Bible said, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I want to preach on that verse this morning and that question, and I have no idea how long we'll be here. I've got a feeling it won't be long, but sometimes when I have those feelings, it doesn't turn out that way. So we'll just see. I'm going to preach, and if y'all do me a favor, just listen, okay? I really don't have just a whole lot of notes, but I've got a whole lot inside here that God's put there I want to give you this morning, and I really do. You know, reading through the book of Romans, Romans chapter 7 is the bad news. Romans chapter 8 is the good news. Just look at verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which walk in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That's good news. But chapter 7, not so much. It's the other side of that, all right? God gave Paul the info there in chapter 7 to describe for us the situation, the condition that we live in and we have to contend with. And so I won't just look at it, and I want all the time, I want you to consider that question, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? You see, first of all, we're beaten up by sin. Beaten up by sin. Look at verse 8. Man, listen, without the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, man that's never been born again, you're absolutely at the mercy of sin and Satan. And he will and does work you over, all right? Look there at verse 8. The Bible says, but sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was death. For I was alive without the law, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Hey, sin slays us, all right? It is a killer. It is a killer. The Bible tells us in the book of Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1 that we are dead in trespasses and in sin. The lost man, that's your condition. If you're here this morning, you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, you're dead. You say, preacher, I'm not dead. Here I am. I can talk to you. I can hear you. I can move my hands and I'm alive. No, the truth of the matter is you're dead and you don't know you're dead, but you're just dead as you can be. You know, the world today goes crazy over zombies. Well, I guess that's what you are. You're the walking dead if you're lost. If you're lost without Christ, you're the walking dead. You're dead in trespasses and sin. Why? Because sin's a killer. Sin's a killer. Can I say this to you? Sin not only is a killer spiritually, but sin will kill you physically. It'll kill you physically. I've preached the funerals for two brothers, kill themselves they drank themselves to death. Both of them. Hey, I tell you what, there's a third brother. He's working on it. I wouldn't be surprised any time somebody called me and said, "Preacher, so-and-so," and call his name, said he's dying. He's dying, and here's why. And I wouldn't be surprised. Why? Sin's a killer. Sin's a killer. We take it lightly. We think it's not going to hurt anything. Won't do it. No, it'll kill you. It will kill you. It will take your life. The worst thing about it, oftentimes it takes a life. A lot of people that, if you will, are innocent to a certain extent. They weren't involved, but they got killed, all right? Sin's a killer, and it's always been a killer. It always will be a killer. Now, hey, we're getting beaten up by sin. But not only is it a killer, not only does it slay us, but look, if we will, in verse 14. Verse 14 of chapter 7, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin." Sold under sin. Hey, man, we're sold as a slave to sin. That's it. That we live in a time where people have this thought, "I can control it." No, it'll control you. It'll control you every time. It'll make you its slave. We think, "I'll dabble in it, but I can draw back, I can turn." No, you're going to find out, as the Bible said, you're holding with the cords of iniquity. Why? Sin does that to you. It makes you a slave. Sold, the Bible says. I'm sold under sin. Yeah, hey, the law's spiritual, but I'm not. I'm carnal. Sold under sin. Hey, that's our condition. That's especially the condition of the lost man. You're literally, it'll kill you. You're dead in trespass and sin, and you're sold under sin. You're a slave to that sin. And you say, "Praise God, preacher, I'm saved. I know I'm saved." Wonderful. There's only a problem, though. You get saved. You get the idea, boy, everything will just be wonderful. We get the idea sometimes we've watched too many TV shows, too many movies, and read too many fairy tales, and they lived happily ever after. But life's not made that way. Life's not made that way, my friend. The truth of the matter is, after being saved, we still face a set of problems. Look at verse 23, would you? Verse 23, the Bible says, "But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members." Boy, he said, there's a problem. There's a war going on. Hey, wait a minute. That's not in the fella out yonder. That's the testimony of a fella named Paul. The guy that we were introduced to is Saul of Tarsus. That fella that's born again on the road to Damascus. That fella that became, we talk about him, people say, the greatest missionary ever been. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. But I know this, he was a better Christian than I am. But he said, "I have a problem." Amen. Said, "I have a problem." Said, "I've got this war going on." Amen. "Preacher, I thought when I got saved, everything get better." Well, it does, but there's still a battle that takes place. We're still battling with sin. Still battling with sin. Look at verse 15. You know, I don't know about you, but I read verse 15. If I read it real fast, I don't have any idea what it's talking about. "For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I." Man, if you'll read that fast enough, you'll go, huh? Hey, man, here's it. Paul, he's saying, "I don't do what I would do and I want to do, and I know it's right to do." But he said, "Instead, I find myself doing what I don't want to do." He said, "Sin comes in, and I'm still fighting that battle." And my friend, you sit here this morning saved on your way to heaven, but there's still a battle raging. Still a battle raging. It goes on within us. And we still have that old problem. We got a new nature when we got saved, but that old nature's still there. Still living in that same house with you, all right? He hadn't gone away. That old man's still there. And boy, he rises up. He says, "I want my way. I want my way. I want to do what I want to do. And I like that. Don't you tell me I can't have that." Hey, it's that old man. We're in a battle. We don't do what we would like to do. And really, no, that's the best thing to do. But I wind up doing that thing over there I don't want to do. I'm doing battle with it. Look down verse 18, if you would. Verse 18, the Bible tells us, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not." Boy, you think about what a statement. "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing." Can I just admit to you, I don't like admitting that. You know, I don't like to say, "Man, I realize that in my flesh dwelleth no good thing." Because it's just not there. Why? Because that flesh hasn't been saved. That flesh hasn't been sanctified. It's not been regenerated. It's still that same old flesh that likes to sin. Paul said it this way under the inspiration of God there. He says the will is present. The will is present. The spirit, if you will, wants to do. That will is there, but the problem is the performing of it. The actual doing of what is right and what I want to do, what my spirit wants to do. It's the performance of that that's difficult. That's why many of you this morning, when that alarm clock went off, you groaned and rolled over and thought, "Why does it have to be Sunday? Man, I wish I could just sleep late. Sleep in." And some of you did. You should have been in Sunday school, all right? You didn't make it. Why? Because the performance of it. Yeah, I realize that I visit tons of people and have for years and years, and I have people say, "Preacher, I'm going to be there Sunday. I promise you I'll be there Sunday." Sunday shows up, and they don't show up. Now, I don't believe when they were talking to me, they were lying to me. I don't believe they looked me in the face and they thought, "I got to tell him this to get rid of him, or he'll never leave. So, preacher, I'll be there." No, I believe they meant it. But here's the problem. It's the performing. It's the performing. I will, I'd like to, I want to. But it's the doing of it. It's the doing of it. Hey, I could put it on a level pretty much every one of us can grasp. And that is, we talk about we want to lose weight, right? Now, I just need to lose a few pounds. But have you ever noticed how all of a sudden things smell better than they ever smelled before? And how many people come by and say, "Hey, I brought donuts." Well, you've never done that. "Oh, but hey, I heard you wrong." No, they didn't say that. But, I mean, there it is. It's, we've got the will we want to, but it's the performing of that which the Spirit says you need to do. But that old flesh doesn't want to cooperate. We have a problem with it. What's going on? Hey, we're still battling with sin. We're still battling with sin. It's sad, but it's true. Verse 19, "For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do." Boy, it's so sad when doing evil seems easier than doing good. Doing evil seems easier than doing good. I'll just put it on you where you are. I'll give you an illustration. You're sitting at the red light, and you're first in line. And under the influence of the Spirit of God, you're just living in the rapture of how good it is to be saved. And you don't notice the light turn green. But the person behind you does. And very patiently, they wait for almost half a second. And then they honk their horn loudly and long. And you suddenly are transformed from the spirit to the flesh. And all of that blessing and joy you are feeling is suddenly reversed. And the right hand is tempted to go, And your mouth and tongue want to blurt out something. What is that? We find it easier to do evil than do good. We just find it easier to do evil than we do to do good. He said, "Preacher, that is such a childish example, but we live with that example all the time." You know, I want to tell you what, it's not necessarily with God's people what the world looks at as the big stuff that gets us. It's those things like, be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one. Well, I'd rather not. Yeah, I'd rather not. I'd rather hang on to that grudge. I would rather let the bitterness begin to burn just a little bit. And rather than come back with a God bless you, my friend, we would like to come back with a smart retort. Yes, give it back to him. That's exactly what we want to do. Why? Because it's so much easier to do evil than it is to do good. So much easier. Why? Because we got that battle going on. Battle going on. Oh, man, oh, man, oh, man. Look at verse 23. The Bible said, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. I want to, you know, we say it's mind over matter. No, for the child of God, it's mind over our members. It's mind over our members. The mind wants to do that which is right. In our mind, we know what's right to do. We know what we should do. We know that we're to allow the Holy Spirit to control us. But our members want the flesh to be in control. You say, "Preacher, what are you talking about, members?" I'm talking about your hand, your tongue. You ever dealt with a little child? Ever dealt with a little child and you tell them something and they've been taught, you know, because in times past you've said things to them and they go, they stick their tongue out, man, and if they're dealt with as they should be, man, they're corrected. And I don't mean, "Johnny, now don't do that." My dad never said, "No, Marlon, don't do that." But I knew what he meant when he did what he did, all right? He meant, don't do that. You ever dealt with a child? And they know. But you say something, and that tongue doesn't go. But it just kind of eases out a little bit. They ain't licking their lips, buddy. They're sticking their tongue out at you. But that's what happens to full-grown adults when our members, the old flesh is in control. The mind doesn't keep it in line. The Spirit of God, we don't yield to the Spirit of God. Instead of yielding to Him and allowing Him to use us, we yield our members to, as instruments of unrighteousness. Why? Because we're fighting that battle. We're fighting that battle. Why? Because in us, this old flesh wants to reign supreme. It doesn't realize it's really dead. It's dead. So in the midst of all of that, we get to verse 24. Oh, wretched man that I am. You understand that? Oh, wretched man. That guy that is easier to do evil than it is to do good. That one that can't perform what he knows is right and has so much trouble performing. He wants to, but he can't seem to get it done. That one that will take and his mind knows it's right, but he can't keep the body in control. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? A great question. Who's going to do it? Well, let's go to the physician. I mean, we go to the doctor for everything else, you know. Hey, have you got a pill for that, doc? You got some way you can handle it? I don't tell you, it's way beyond his ability. Way beyond. Hey, we're not talking about a physical problem. We're talking about a spiritual problem. That is out of the doctor's league. He can't touch it. The physician, he's helpless. You know, he's dealing with the same problem you are. Same problem you are. Well, man, in our day, let's go to the scientist, because science has become God. And so we'll go to the scientist and say, look, who shall deliver me from this body of death? Surely you can do that. No, he doesn't have a problem. He doesn't even realize he has this problem. It's never really gotten to put to him. He can't help you because he can't put it in the test tube. He can't pour it into a beaker and heat it and see what happens to it. He can't do that. He can't run his experiment on it. He's not able to handle it. He has no idea how to deliver you from this body of death. None. None. Well, the physician can't help me. The scientist can't help me. How about the politician? I mean, we think the politician's got the answer for every other problem we've got. You know, hey, man, you're to provide me with a decent house. And it's up to you to give me health care. It's up to you to provide me a free education. Now, you say, preacher, I don't feel that way. Well, a lot of people in the world do. So let's go to the politician. You do it. You solve it. And you know what? He can't help you. You know why? Because you can't talk your way out of this problem. You can't talk your way out of it. You can't, what do they call it, put your spin on it and make it come out your way. Not only that, you can't take somebody else's money and throw it at the problem and hope it'll go away. I'm telling you, the politician, he can't do anything. Why? Because you've got to face this problem. You've got to face this problem. Well, maybe your entertainment hero can help. You know, that wonderful sports star, that great singer, that movie star that it just seems like has the world by a string, you know. Hey, truth be told, they don't even live in a real world. They don't live in a real world. A lot of them play to make a living. They live in a dream world. The actor, I mean, they make their money by being a fake, by being something they're not and somebody they're not. But we want to go to them. And the world of make-believe, the world of game-playing has no solid answer for the man who seeks to be delivered from this body of death. Hey, there's only one. There's only one who has the answer for deliverance from this body of death. This old flesh refuses to be put to death. It refuses to be put off. So the answer is in verse 25. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God. But with the flesh, the law of sin. He said, look, the only one's going to deliver you is the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't trust the scientist, the politician, the physician, the entertainer to help you because their help's in vain. It's in vain. It's beyond their strength. It's beyond their ability. It's beyond their knowledge. It's beyond their power. You must come to the Lord Jesus Christ. You must come to Him. You must trust Him. Only He can deliver you. Only He can deliver you. Nobody else can pull you out. Without trusting and calling upon Him by faith, the Bible says you're going to die in your sin. You're going to die in your sin. Take your Bible. You don't believe me. Go to John chapter 8, all right? John chapter 8, would you? John chapter 8, just a few verses here in this chapter. John chapter 8, down in verse 21. Notice what the Bible says. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Then verse 23, and he said unto them, you're from beneath. I'm from above. You're of this world. I'm not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Hey, my friend, to die in your sins is to face eternal death and eternal separation from God in hell. Not just in the grave, in hell. The Bible says in torment. But on the other hand, if you'll trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, He'll get you out of this body of death. He will get you out of this body of death. Now, one of two ways. You see, the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 8 that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. To be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. Who shall deliver me from this body of death? Only one can. Only one can. You say, well, I'm not going to trust him and I'll still die, preacher, just like everybody. Yeah, but you're going to find it goes with you. It goes with you. You can't escape it. But if you'll trust Christ, the Lord will take you out of this body. Now, he may take you out through death. But I just want to tell you, not you dying, but this old flesh that gives me so much trouble, it's going to die. It's going to die. It's the part that this morning when I went to get out of bed caused me to go groan just a little bit. It's the problem that made me stand up slowly and hear the creaking and the popping. It's the part that made me walk slow and begin to get the blood flowing until I could speed up a little bit, you know. Yep, this old body of flesh, it's dying. But I think it was J. Frank Norris that said, one of these days you're going to hear that. You'll hear J. Frank Norris is dead. He said, don't you believe it. Don't you believe it. Don't you believe it. He said, I'm not going to be dead. Now this body will be dead. But the me, same part with me, this body may die. It may not get through today, but I'm not going to die. Because the Lord is going to take the part that's me to be absent from this body to be present with him. This flesh, it's going to die, but this soul, this spirit, it's been born again. And boy, it's looking for the day for the redemption of the body. Hey, I'm not looking to go out through the cemetery, all right? I don't look forward to the day where you'll come to my funeral. Now, you better come or I will haunt you, okay? But I don't look forward to the day where you come to my funeral. That's not what I'm looking forward to. But I am looking forward to the trump of God sounding. Boy, I'm looking forward to that day when the Bible said the trump's going to sound, the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. That day I'm going to be delivered from this body of death. I'm going to be delivered from this body of death. You say, well, preacher, I don't really get excited about dying. I know I'm going to heaven, but I don't get excited about dying. Well, neither do I. I don't lay in the bed and say, Lord, just kill me now. I'm not, that's not me. I'm not laying there saying, Lord, just take me now. I've had it. I'm not doing that. I do say, even so, come, Lord Jesus. I'd love to hear that trumpet sound. So what in the world are we supposed to do? I mean, you've already described what my life is like. It's a battle. I'm saved, but it's a constant battle. What am I supposed to do? I'll tell you, keep on fighting. Amen. Just keep on fighting, man. And keep telling the flesh no. Amen. Yeah, well, I lose. That's all right, man. Keep saying no. If you fall down, get up. Amen. Get up. Dust yourself off. Say, won't let that happen again. Amen. I'll take it on next time. I'm not done. I love to watch a boxing match. I'll be honest, terrible sport, but I love a good boxing match. I really love it when some guy gets beat and he knocks down, you know, and they count him and he staggers to his feet and he comes out and he fights and the bell rings and he sits down on the stool over there and the guys are working over and say, man, it's okay, you're doing fine. He never touched you. And after about three rounds of that, they're telling him he never touched you. He said, well, watch that ref. Somebody's beating the devil of me out there, you know. So keep an eye on him, will you, because somebody's working me over. But I tell you what, I like to see that kind of thing. And then later in those later rounds, that fellow that's been beaten and battered gets in one. Gets in that punch. Sometimes it's just lucky. But boy, it only takes that one. And it lands in just the right spot. And that other fellow, his eyes roll back. And his body, it's that mat. And you know, you can count to 50, he ain't getting up. He's not getting up. Hey, keep on fighting. Keep on fighting. Why? Because it's worth it. It's worth it. Man, the song said it'll be worth it all when we see Jesus. All those things we've looked at and all those times where we look back and we think, man, the flesh whooped me. I wanted to do what was right, but I did the wrong thing. I wanted to do good, but I did the evil. I'm ashamed of myself. And preach, man, I had to walk the aisle and kneel at that altar and confess and ask God to forgive me. Good, keep doing that. But then you get up and you go back and you say, we'll take him on again. I'm not going to let him whoop me. Because the reward that's coming is so much better than this little trouble we have down here. Man, it doesn't compare to what's coming for the child of God. Hang in there, man. Keep punching. Keep fighting. Don't say quit. Who shall deliver me from this body, from the body of this death? He will. He will. You just hang in there until he does. Heavenly Father, would you help us today? Would you help us to see, first of all, be honest. Do I know for sure I'm saved? Lord, have I got my soul firmly anchored in the Lord Jesus Christ? Because I remember the day that I called upon you and asked you to save my soul. Lord, know I'm saved. Lord, help us to get that established firmly. Lord, for somebody here this morning that's never done that, would you just work on them now? Lord, I pray the Holy Spirit's already been convicting them and dealing with them. And Lord, I pray they'd just have the courage this morning during the invitation, step out, walk down to the front, and meet me and say, preacher, I need to trust Christ. Lord, help that one to be saved. But Lord, I pray you'd help every Christian that's here. Every one of us that ever tried to live for you know everything what Paul's talking about. We've been through it. We fight that battle. We still contend with the flesh. Lord, if we need to come and ask forgiveness, help them to do that. Help us to do it. Help us just walk this aisle and say, here I am, Lord. I'm guilty. I need you to forgive me. Well, Lord, help me the next time to stay in the battle a little longer. Lord, would you just encourage us today? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Would you stand with me this morning? As we sing the invitation hymn, listen, God's dealt with you. Every one of you, you've been through it. You know it. You know you have. We fight that battle. We fight it continuously.